The reading today is from Acts chapter 4, from verses 23 to the end of the chapter. No, not to the end of the chapter, to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God's word to us. Let me pray for Michael. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the evidence of what can happen when people follow you and obey you, what you can do through your servants when your word is followed. And Lord, we've brought our sins before you with communion, and we've worshipped you, and now we're gathering with more than two of us in one place, Lord. May you show us through Michael how to go forward into this week. May you guide us and show us how to obey you as we continue. Lord, I thank you once again for your word, and I thank you for Michael and the gift you've given him. May you use him as your servant. May you use him as you use the disciples. I do pray that, we would not only feel your presence today, as we have done in worship, but that we would know how to respond to it. May your message be clear today, Lord. Amen.
Well, thank you, Sam, for doing that reading. It's an amazing passage, isn't it, really, where the church comes before God humbly, and God responds to that prayer. Do you notice at the end where God answers that prayer straight away? Amazing way. Now, normally, you might expect me to be up here going from 1 Peter. You know that I've been doing that quite a lot, but I thought I better leave it as the pastor's doing recently. Don't want to tread any toes. So I thought, well, what could we look at tonight? And as many ones I could thought about, but it all rested down to what happened this morning, the launch of our mission, of Who Cares? And before mission, we must do everything is pray. Prayer is so vital and important to anything we do. And so this book, this chapter of Acts, linked perfectly to what was going on today. So we need to pray. Christians need to pray. The Bible is very clear in that. I know that perhaps you've probably heard prayer being preached on time and time again. Pastors, assistant pastors, visiting ministers have always talked about prayer, haven't they? They've always mentioned prayer. And you're thinking, Michael, why are you doing this again? Why are you mentioning prayer again? We know it. We know it. We've heard it time and time again. Well, it's because it's so important. And any minister will tell you that prayer is vital. So tonight we're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at what the Bible and prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ and how he sees prayer. We're going to look at even historical ministers and how they viewed prayer, and how God used them. And then we're going to use the book of Acts to see how can we pray for revival, how can we pray for the kingdom to expand. And hopefully for tonight we can apply this message to ourselves and to us as a congregation. So, prayer is important. The Bible is very clear that prayer is important. In John 17, we find our Lord Jesus Christ praying in Gethsemane for himself, for his disciples, but also for for us in the future. He prays for people who do not yet know him. He prays for himself to be strengthened in the time of trial, that he may stand firm. He prays for disciples that even though the time's going to be tough and it's not going to be easy, that they stand firm in the truth. And then he prays for us as well, that we may know him, stand firm in him, and grow in him. Jesus Christ prays for us. And throughout the whole Gospels, I could have got so many quotes out from the Bible from this, but throughout the Gospel, where is Christ always? He's always praying. He's praying constantly, isn't he? And you find that in every Gospel, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's praying to the Father. He's praying to his own Father for people to know the Gospel, for people to see him, and they believe in him. And in 1 Peter, we do find, don't we, that Peter talks about us being sanctified to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about us being like him. So if Peter commands us to be like him, then in prayer we should be like him, praying constantly to the Father. And for the Lord to pray for us in such a way he did in Gethsemane, why then shouldn't we not pray for those outside? He had a heart for us. Our Lord had a heart for each and every one of us in this room. So if that's the case, then why don't we have a heart for everyone outside this room and pray for them constantly? So prayer is important. Our Lord Jesus Christ shows that very clearly. But so did the early church. And you find that in Acts 2, verse 42. I mean, the whole book of Acts is full of prayer. You can't escape it if you wanted to. But Acts 2 is quite a nice way of showing it. The early church, they devoted themselves to four things. One was the teaching of the word, so preaching. One was to fellowship, meeting together, to constantly meet up, to encourage each other, to talk to each other, to pray for each other. The breaking of bread, to remember Christ's sacrifice. They met to constantly remind themselves of what Christ did for them. And then finally, they prayed as a church. The four priorities there: preaching, fellowship, remembering Christ, and prayer. Now, sadly, I think some churches have gone away from that in the recent years. They try to fit other things in, you know, trying to focus on events, maybe, perhaps. And there's nothing wrong with them. But the key aspect is those four. Prayer is in there, isn't there? It's the last one. They prayed. And what did the early church do? It grew. It started in Jerusalem, and it went out to Greece, isn't it? It went out to Turkey, it went out to Rome, and it ended up here, didn't it, in Colchester? And it all started through prayer. Prayer's important. The Bible shows us that. If it wasn't important, then these people wouldn't be praying for these things. Do you consider prayer important? Early church did, and God blessed them because of it. Let's be a praying church. The Bible says prayer is important. But also the next part is praying for revival is important. It's not just praying generally, it's praying for revival. Let's be specific here. Praying for revival is equally important. You find that in Ephesians. I mean, I could have gone through many examples of this, but I only picked out a few just as a taster for you to understand. In Ephesians 6:19, Paul writes, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul's saying, "Pray for me that I may be bold in speaking the truth, that I may tell people of Christ, that I may reveal the mystery to them. Pray for me, because I can't do it by myself. Help me, pray for me. Prayer is important. I can't do this without prayer." He recognizes prayer is important. He wants revival to happen. He wants people to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul wants people to be saved. And he's prayer to asking the Ephesians to pray for him. Do we pray for each other that we may make known the mysteries of the gospel? Or do we shy away from that because we're scared of what's going to happen? But Paul considered it important. But also in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, the prophet, in chapter 3, verse 2, says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them know. In wrath, remember mercy." So we find, don't we, first of all, that in the Old Testament and New Testament, we're finding prayers of revival. It's constant throughout the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. These are prayers that are constantly made to God, that he may reveal himself to people. And Habakkuk here is a great example. It's the most clearest example, I think, of that. Lord, I've heard your fame. I know what you've done before. I stand in all your deeds. Lord, you've worked before. We know that. We remember these deeds that you've done. I mean, I'm an historian, so I like looking at the past. But God's moved in amazing ways in the past. From the Reformation all up to the present day, God has continuously worked. I stand in all your deeds. You've worked, Lord, in the past for your church. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. Habakkuk there is asking, Lord, to revive his people now. He's asking the Lord, the Father, to send revival, to bring the people back to him. If it was important for Habakkuk then, surely it's important for us now to pray for revival, to remember, in wrath remember mercy, telling God to remember he is a merciful God. God's worked, Christian, many, many times in this land. And he'll work again. Take courage in that. But again, we see that prayer, praying for revival, is important. The Bible makes this clear. And then in Matthew 5:44, our Lord Jesus Christ says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Sometimes it's not easy to pray for people who we don't like, or maybe we disagree with politically, or maybe on certain issues, or maybe they don't like us for certain reasons because we're Christians. Maybe they don't like us because we're Christians. How do we feel? Sometimes we feel like we're in the minority these days of our morals or our viewpoints, and people don't like us for that, do they? We must pray for them. Pray for those who don't like us. Pray for those who we struggle with. But the Lord Jesus Christ there is telling us to pray for them. Pray that they may know him, pray that they may see his glory. Praying for revival, Christian, is important. The Bible tells us that clearly. So as we consider mission, may we consider praying for it equally important. As we consider going out and doing things, may we consider praying as equally as important as doing. Now, prayer. You might think sometimes you're talking to an empty space, that God doesn't hear you. Yeah, it's all good. You're saying that God says to pray for revival, but I don't see it. He doesn't hear me, does he? He does. We don't find that in the Psalms. God hears our prayers in Psalm 18, verse 6. David says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." David there is on a tough road. He's struggling. It's not easy. He's in a deep, dark place at that time. Yet he knows that God hears his voice. "From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." God listens to David. Even though he is struggling, even though he is feeling the worst for wear, though he feels like the world's against him. And that can work, can't it, sometimes in mission? Sometimes we feel the world's against us as we try to reach out to people. That people will stand against us, that people make things difficult for us. It's not easy, is it? We're shy people sometimes. We're in a low point, thinking, "I can't do this, I can't do this." But you know what? God listens to your prayers. Pray, Christian, that you may be bold. Pray that you may be used by him, because he does listen. David reminds us that in the Psalm of chapter 18. And then Psalm 5, verse 3, David again says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my quest before you and wait expectantly." David knows that God will listen and God will answer. So God doesn't just listen, he answers our prayers. Maybe not the way we expect them to be answered. Doesn't always go the way you want them to be. The key example is praying for growth. When we're praying for growth spiritually, God doesn't necessarily answer it the way we want it to be answered. Sometimes it means that we go through struggles and temptations and trials, but God will bring us out as a stronger person because of it, knowing more of him because of it. That doesn't always go the way we want it to, but God will answer our prayers. David, amazingly, here, says in the morning, he first thing he does, he prays First thing in the morning he does, he lays his requests of revival before the Lord, his God, and he waits. Doesn't do, he waits. Sometimes you want to see revival happen straight away, like, you know, 1 second. We talk to someone and that's it, they're going to be saved. But sometimes it takes longer than that. Waiting. But God will move. David's expectant here of God moving. Are you expectant that mission will work? Are you expectant that praying for revival will lead people to know him? Or are you doing it just because it's part of your duty to do it? Because you feel guilty if you don't do it? God will work, and he'll work in marvelous ways. God hears our prayers, and hallelujah for that. Now, how about examples of God moving through prayer? God does move through prayer. And ministers from the Reformation to the present day have talked about that. Now, I'm an historian, as you all know, so I'm going to use some historical people because this is what I do. And it'd be bad if I didn't bring history into this, wouldn't it, really? I've got to do at least once a sermon. So, the first example of this is by John Wesley and Charles Spurgeon. They both say two things. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. That's from Wesley. And Spurgeon said, prayer is a slender nerve that moveth the muscle of omnipotence. Amazing quotes, aren't they? God moves when we pray. If we go out and do mission, do not pray, where's our heart? Is our heart really focused towards God? Was it doing because we want to keep busy? No, prayer. God wants us to be united to him in thought, mind, and deed. He wants us to be praying for him to work. Not for us to work, for him to work. Wesley and Spurgeon both knew that. They're both praying Christians. And do you know what? God used them and revivals happened because they prayed. They prayed. And I love the second quote there. Prayer is the slender nerve that moveth the muscle of omnipotence. Omnipotence, the all-powerful. Prayer moves the arm of the all-powerful. Prayer is powerful, Christian. It's proven. So pray. Be prayer warriors. Let's, when we think about mission, about who cares mission, or even university, or anything, talking to our friends, talking to our family, let's keep praying. God won't work unless we pray. Next quote is tells you just how valuable prayer is. Charles Spurgeon, again, I keep using Spurgeon, I don't know why. I had to use the man who was saved in Colchester. He said, I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Amazing, isn't that? I mean, we often value preaching as the key element of church, and it is, it's vital. But Spurgeon said, how powerful prayer is to hear one person praying than 10 people preaching. Does that seem a bit crazy to you? Prayer is powerful. Let's pray. Spurgeon valued prayer. The next, James Hutter Taylor, I believe he was a missionary, if I remember correctly, said, I have seen many men working without praying, though I have never seen any good come out of it, but I've never seen a man pray without working. The first part of the quote is amazing. I've never seen many men work without praying, though I've never seen any good come out of it. We could work, we could keep busy, we could go out in the mission field, go straight out there, but nothing much would happen if we don't pray. We keep busy because we're doing it in our own strength. We're not meant to be doing it in our own strength. We're meant to do it in God's strength. Pray that God will equip you and will bless you. And then secondly, I've never seen a man pray without working. Prayer will lead us to act. Praying will lead us to go out and say something to people. We'll feel inspired by praying. If you pray, God will move in us. Because we're seeking him. He wants us to be seeking him, Christian. Do you seek him? And then I thought of bringing someone modern into this. Crazy, I know. John Piper says, prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. We often don't see church as barracks. It's quite an old term, afraid to use it. I've heard it many times before. But church is a place where we get equipped to fight the battle, as well as a hostel for sinners, as well as a family. It is also about to equip ourselves. And John Piper uses the whole kind of military phrasing here. like a wartime walkie-talkie. Because as we go out into the mission field, it is a battle. It isn't easy. But God is on the other end of that walkie-talkie. And we pray to him, and he helps us conquer it. He helps us spread God's word. He helps us talk to people. He helps us to preach the word boldly to people. Prayer equips us. It's what keeps us going. We can't do it by ourselves, but prayer will advance the kingdom. Do you want to see the kingdom advance, Christian? Pray. Pray that it does. Now, going back to Spurgeon. One more time. Last time, I promise. Spurgeon called the prayer room the powerhouse of the church. When Spurgeon used to preach, people would be praying in other rooms as he preached. Prayer was vital to his ministry. And do you know what? He saw revival happen in his churches. He saw people saved en masse in his churches. He sought prayer. And in a great quote, if the engine room is out of action, the whole mill will grind to a halt. If we don't pray for mission, as Spurgeon says, then we won't see much return out of it. If we're not praying that God will work, that God will move in amazing, miraculous ways, then little will be done. We cannot expect blessing if we do not ask. Let's keep asking God for his blessing. And when I say ask, plead, beg, come before him every morning if we have to pray for this. He wants us to ask that. He wants us to seek that. Well, finally on this point, prayer is necessary. And I thought I'd bring in some more history, because I've been looking through the Articles of Faith recently as in my spare time. I've just been going through it because I'm that kind of person who does that. And amazing, the Articles of Faith are amazing. 1689, the Baptists got together and decided to make a joint declaration, pretty much. And in that, you know, it's great because they cover every aspect of faith. And it really explains our faith in an amazing way. But one of the Articles of Faith says, prayer with thanksgiving, being one part of natural worship, is by God required of all men. So even though it's important, even though the Bible's full of it, even though the ministers of old have seen it, if that's not enough for you, then at least like that is required for us to pray. It's required for us. We're commanded to pray. We're meant to pray. Our ancestors of old have always seen that. And we need to see that as well. Prayer is necessary. And then it goes on to say, but that may be accepted. It's been made in the name of the Son, by the help of the Spirit according to his will. The Spirit is with us, Christian. The Spirit is with us, and it will help us pray the Father's will. The Father's will is to see people saved. That we know. The Bible's clear on that as well. John 3:16, for God loves so loved the world, that he gave his only Son. It's clear. The Father's will is to see people saved. So let us pray that people may be saved. Let's pray that God will work. So, prayer is crucial. Don't you agree? Hope you agree. We've seen through this, haven't we, that our Lord Jesus Christ saw prayer as important. He prayed constantly. We've seen that praying for revival specifically is important. We've seen that God hears those prayers for revival. We've heard that ministers of old can all testify that God moves when his people pray, when his people are close to him. And finally, we're saying that prayer is just necessary, is that commandment. So how can we therefore apply it today? How can we apply it to our situation about who cares mission? How can we apply it to this? Well, now finally I get on to Acts. Acts 23:24. Well, the answer is prayer is the first step. Before we do anything, prayer is the first step. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I'll come back to the first part of that because that's important in itself. When they hear the news, they pray. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. There was nothing else to do but pray. It's the first thing they considered, the first thing they did. And the key word there as well is together. They pray together as a church. When we're considering about praying for revival, let's pray together as a church. Praying tonight. We're going to have a bit of prayer after sermon, together in groups, praying for this. Pray it in our growth groups. Pray it in our men's meetings or women's meetings. Pray it when we meet together. Pray together. That's our first step, isn't it? How often are we quick to rush into things today? I'm like that. I'm the person who really just goes head in first without thinking about what I say or what I do. And it often ends in problems, in failure, or something really embarrassing. There's many examples. I'm not going to say them up here because it's too embarrassing. But it happens. We often act before we think. So before we act about mission, before we go out there tonight and go into the world and seek people, let's pray first. Let's come together in prayer to God. And then what they do, well, the first thing they do in their prayer, Sovereign Lord. They recognize God's sovereignty of the situation. We should recognize God's sovereignty of the situation. Again, we sang that song, don't we? You alone can rescue. God's sovereign over this matter. God is in control of the matter. He is there. He's in control of it. They're very reverent in their prayer. They treat God with respect. They then say, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The first thing in their prayer isn't going, Lord, help us do this, help us do that. It's, Lord, you are great. You made this. You've done this. You are above all things. Their first response is to give him praise. That's the first thing we should do in our prayers, is to give God praise for what he has done for us and for the world. So the first thing really is pray first. And when we pray, have reverence and praise him. Then, in Acts 25:28, we pray the word, we pray truth. We recognize God's authority over it all. We find this in Acts 25. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in a city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They're praying the word. They're praying the truth. They're praying, recognizing what's happened before them. Lord, you said it was happening, and it has happened. Recognizing that the situation isn't great. Recognizing that the people are against them in that. But above all, they're recognizing that God is sovereign over all this. That God is authoritative over this. In verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. God has authority over all, everyone's lives. They recognize that. So when we go out there, we should recognize that God is sovereign and authority on mission. He will save who he saves. We can do all we can, but God is the only one who can save them. Pray the truth. Pray the word. And then afterwards, we go into Acts 29 and to 30. I realize I made a mistake on the slide. It shouldn't be Acts 29 to 20. It should be 30. But the thing to do is pray for action. Once we consider the situation we're in, we pray that God will work. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders for the name of your holy servant, Jesus. The next action is to pray for action to happen. And you realize that isn't the first thing they asked for. So we've seen the pay for reverence. They pray God's praises. They pray the word. And then they actually go to their request. It's the fourth thing they go to. They tell God of their situation. They say, consider their threats. Lord, they're against us. They hate us. Lord, it's going to be tough. Lord, when we go out to mission field, we know that people don't want to maybe interact with us. Lord, sometimes it may be awkward sometimes. Lord, we know that the world doesn't like us, that they're against our message. But Lord, and sometimes we might feel shy or scared of what's to come. But enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Lord, even though it's tough, give us the strength. Give us the courage to stand firm. May we speak your word truthfully and faithfully. May we be bold in preaching the gospel. Great prayer, isn't it? To ask for boldness. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray for action that God will equip us. We go out to mission field. When we go out, we are all equipped, individually and as a church, equipped. They ask God to stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders for the name of your holy servant Jesus. Same thing for us. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to save sinners. That in itself is a miraculous sign and wonder, isn't it? Salvation of souls is a miraculous gift from God. Our prayer should be, Lord, stretch out your hand and save people. Save lost souls. Come, Lord, and expand your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Is that something that we pray for regularly? That God would do? Need to. Our heart needs to be focused on revival. Needs to long for that. God, work in our nation. But Lord, with this mission of who cares, especially, or on campus, Lord, work, save souls, equip us to stand firm, equip us to be bold, equip us to stand firm for you. Pray that. That's the key aspect of the prayer, is action. And then we go to the power of prayer. Acts 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God answered prayer. Hallelujah to that. He answered prayer. The place where the meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God shows them there at that present time that their prayer is answered by the shaking of the place. Now, that might not happen here tonight. It may do, it may not. But know, from each and everyone has a past, and everyone has prayed before, and we all know that God has answered those prayers. And he'll keep answering those prayers. Again, maybe not the way we expect them to be answered sometimes, but he'll answer those prayers. But the key thing I want to bring out from this passage, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, if you look at the verse beforehand, they ask to speak your word with great boldness. There's no... Luke here is specifically mentions here that they spoke the word of God boldly to show that the prayer has been answered. They spoke the word of God. God answered their exact request. Notice they're also filled with the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do this by themselves. You can't speak the word of God boldly. You can't speak the word of God boldly without God within you. So let's pray that we may all be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, that we may go out and speak God's word boldly, or talk to people with courage. Now, all we could do is ask people a question. But that's scary in and of itself for us. Especially people like me who are really shy one-to-one. You might not think it, but I'm awful one-to-one. I hate, it's one thing I hate doing. But God will answer our prayers and be bold and give us the courage to talk to people, to share that question with them, to share it with more than one people. And who knows how God will work it, but God will answer that prayer. Prayer is powerful, Christian. Prayer is amazing. Prayer works. So be encouraged by that. So for us today, what must we do? Well, as we start this mission, let's continue to pray constantly. And it's not good enough just to pray tonight and then go and that's it. We need to pray and keep praying. Pray tonight. Pray we'll meet up again together. Keep praying for this mission to work. Keep praying that people will respond. Keep praying that God will use us in his amazing, marvelous way. And as you pray, tell God all his promises. Tell God to say that you sent your son to die for people. Lord, remember your mercy, as Habakkuk did. Lord, remember your mercy in this time. Lord, this nation has turned away from you. It's gone against you. But Lord, remember your promises. Ask for that strength and boldness in your prayers to stand. Pray and plead for revival. I use the word plead. We really need to be pleading God for revival. It's not just good enough sometimes to say, you know, God, revive us, please. It's to come for him time and time again, begging him, pleading him to do so. Let us pray the will of the Father, which is revival. The Father wants to see people saved. The Bible, I said earlier, is clear on that. He just wants our hearts to be in tune with his. And perhaps the reason why we haven't seen revival in the church over the last decade is because the church hasn't been close enough to him. His heart isn't seeking him first and foremost. Let us pray the will of the Father. Let's be close to him. And finally, don't forget to tell the answered prayer. That's where we go back to the part of Acts, the beginning of Acts 24:23. So on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and poured all the chief priests and elders had said to them. Peter and John went back to them and told the church what happened. They couldn't pray unless they were told what happened. They could pray into the situation. They could pray to the Lord about the situation. Peter and John went back and reported to the church these things. So when we hear good stories, when we hear testimonies, tell each other, tell one another, encourage one another what's happened. Share in our growth groups, in our men's meetings, in any meeting possible. Share. If things have happened, share them so we can pray in them. Because that will encourage us to work and encourage you as well. Now, in the Welsh Revival in 1905, the Welsh Church was in a sorry state, but the people there longed for Christ. They prayed for Christ daily. They longed for him. Their devotion was there. Even Roberts, the key minister behind it, prayed for 13 years before he saw revival. But God did up a big revival. He brought revival in an amazing way. It's one of the great revivals that people talk about in the present day, or maybe only for me because I do history. But that being said, people do know of it. The church prayed. And it's key thing with that revival is that it wasn't the preaching that people noted of. It was a prayer of the saints that people noted of. The saints of the church were so in tune with Christ. They said at one point, Lord, no more, lest we die. They were so close to him. Let us be close to God. Let's seek him. Let's keep praying as those Christians prayed. Let's pray that God will work in amazing and powerful ways. Let us pray now, shall we? Dear Heavenly and gracious Sovereign Lord, above all things, Lord, you're the creator of the earth, the sky, the seas. We give you our praise tonight, that you are the great God who has saved each and every one of us. Lord, who has on the cross died for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray tonight that, Lord, remember your mercy upon this nation. Remember your mercy upon us. Lord, may our hearts focus upon you. May we be a praying church, a church that constantly prays for revival, a church that prays for your kingdom to come, and Lord, a people that longs more and more of you. Lord, we do pray for Who Cares tonight. We do pray for this mission field. Lord, we pray that you work in amazing ways. Lord, we expect, Lord, you to work, Lord. We expect, Lord, that you help us. We can't do without you, Lord. We can't do this without your strength. Help us to stand firm for you. to give us the courage to speak out for you. Give us the courage to ask that question or give that person that card. Lord, bring revival in this nation. I do pray. We need it, Lord. We long for it. May Pretty Gate Church be known as a church that prays for revival. I pray this in your name. Amen. So let us sing a song, Facing a Task Unfinished, as we look to our mission field. And after that, we're going to have some time of brief reflection. Think about prayer. Think about how God can use us. And then we're going to get together in groups and pray for each other that for this mission. And I'll stand up and direct people into their groups if necessary. If I don't see it happen, I'll make you. Let us sing, shall we?